My daughter Dorothy has always been mature for her age, and at 5 years of age, her anxieties were quite mature. She was worried about an atomic bomb going off. This was not a one-time worry either. This was something that went on for weeks. And despite the fact that we would tell her that there was no chance an atomic bomb was going off anywhere near her, she continued to worry about this. How do you stop worrying about atomic bombs and other dangers and uncertainties? Let's see what Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us to do about our anxiety. Our text is 1 Peter 5:7, but we will read 1 Peter 5:5-11 to get the full context. 1 Peter 5:5-11. Let's hear what God's Word says to us. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's first look at what Peter does not say. First, Peter does not say that you are imagining things. The Christians Peter was writing to had enemies, and they were threatened. They faced real danger. In verse 8, Peter says that the devil is on the prowl, and he's looking for ones whom he can destroy. In verse 9, he reminds them that Christians around the world are suffering. And in verse 10, he tells them that they too would be suffering for a short time. We also have enemies, and we too are threatened. The devil is still prowling in our time. Christians are still suffering throughout the whole world. And even as Christians in the United States, we still suffer. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:29 that we all suffer as Christians. It may be in the United States that we suffer more just being mocked rather than beaten or killed, but we still suffer. We still face real danger. There are dangers because the world has fallen, and because man is in rebellion against God. There will always be dangers until Christ returns and makes all things new. So Peter does not say that we should, he does not say we're imagining things. Peter also does not say that we should ignore and not pay attention to what is happening around us. Ignorance is not the answer. While Lee Coyote might be able to avoid the effects of gravity as long as he is ignorant of the fact that he is high above the canyon floor rather than on solid ground, but that is not how the real world works. I found this out for myself when I was 12 and jumped out of my bed to turn off the alarm clock. Let's just say I reacted very strongly to the alarm clock going off, and you do not want to be between me and the alarm clock when it goes off. That I had forgotten that I had been sleeping in the top bunk and did not know that I was now 5 feet above my bedroom floor in no way kept the law of gravity from being enforced upon me. Thankfully, no anvils were involved, and I landed perfectly on my hands and knees, unhurt. But it was God rather than my ignorance that kept me safe. In the real world, ignorance does not protect you, and any peace that it gives is short-lived and false. An ignorant army is soon defeated, an ignorant business is soon bankrupt, and Peter tells us that an ignorant Christian soon finds him or herself in the jaws of Satan. You cannot resist the devil, as Peter instructs in verse 9, if you are surprised by his attack. This is why in verse 8, Peter tells us to be sober-minded and watchful. We are to be vigilant. Nowhere in Scripture is ignorance praised. Don't be ignorant of the dangers. So Peter does not tell us that we're imagining things, and he does not tell us to stick our head in the sand. Instead, he tells us in verse 7 to cast our anxieties on God. This means that when we face troubles and dangers, instead of worrying about how we are going to get through them, we are supposed to trust God and believe that he will carry us through. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Blessed the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." This tree does not fear drought or heat because its roots have a source of water. As this tree trusts the stream to provide it with the water it needs, we are to trust God for what we need. Isaiah 35:4 says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." This is just one of many, many places in Scripture where God promises to take care of us and to save us. Peter himself, later on in our passage in verse 10, says that God has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, and that he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So we would always comfort Dorothy, eventually, we got around to comforting her this way, by reminding her that if a bomb did go off, then she would be with Jesus. And is that really so bad? And it's not. No, that's great. We want to be with Jesus. So the worst thing that could happen if an atomic bomb goes off is, oh, now we're with Jesus. That's good. Why worry about the atomic bomb going off? We know that all our troubles in this world will eventually come to an end, and one day we will dwell with God. We need to have faith in God and believe his promises to us. I still often struggle with trusting God and casting my anxieties on him. Peter tells us what we must do before we can trust God. We cannot put our trust in God when we are trusting ourselves. In verse 5, Peter tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in verse 6, he tells us to humble ourselves so that at the proper time God may exalt us. James says the same things in James 4, 6, and 10. So I think that's probably pretty important. Repetition is the key to learning, and so I guess God thinks we need to hear this a lot. We are not anxious when we think that we have everything under control, right? We only become anxious when we see events and circumstances that we know that we cannot handle on our own. Yet we still don't trust God. We still want to trust ourselves, right? We're anxious because we know we can't do it ourselves. You know, men have this reputation for not wanting, under any circumstance, to stop and ask for directions. I can neither confirm nor deny whether I've ever done this. You know, they would rather wander for hours lost than to stop and ask for directions. You know, we act like these men all the time, right? We would rather vainly strive in our own efforts rather than to stop and ask God for help. We would just rather continuously, fruitlessly banging our head on the wall, but we should just stop and ask God for help. This is not to say that we should not work. You know, Paul tells us in Philippians 2:12 to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? So we are supposed to work. The improper response is to say, well, God is supposed to take care of me, so I'm just going to sit here in front of the TV and watch it, and he'll provide food for my family. No, you should get out there and work and do your best to provide for your family, but trust that God will provide what you need. So in order to trust God, we must stop trusting ourselves. We must stop being self-reliant and start relying on God. We must stop trying to solve our own problems by ourselves. To be humble is to recognize that you desperately need God and are completely dependent on him. So to trust God, we recognize our need and stop trusting in ourselves. We should then ask God for help. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Humility prepares us to trust God and gets us focused on God. Prayer is an expression of that trust as we ask God for help. We will not pray if we do not think that God will help us or that he can help us. Notice that our prayer is to be with thanksgiving. This is because the answer is not a doubt. God will help us. Now, there are times when our faith is weak and we struggle to trust in God. This is the time to pray as the father of the boy with the unclean spirit did in Mark 9:24 when he prayed, "I believe, help my unbelief." Right? We also see plenty of evidence of this in the Psalms of this is also the time when we need to remember what God has done for us in the past and remember what God has done for other Christians in the past. Often when we give thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us, that boosts our trust and our faith in God and helps us to trust in him for the future events. Right? We can go to God in confidence because of what he has done for us and because he loves us. Peter tells us that we can cast our anxieties on God because he cares for us. It's nice to have someone care for you, but I don't think you'd be very comfortable if I say, "Cast your anxieties on me because I care for you." I don't think that would give you much comfort at all because I'm not always there for you. You might have problems and I'm nowhere near you. Plus, I'm sort of limited in my power. You may have problems that I just can't handle myself. And quite frankly, I'm not very faithful. It may very well be that you have a problem, and when I find out about it, I just say, whoa, wait a minute, I said I would help you, but not for that. You're on your own, sorry. Right, but God's not like that. God is always there. There's nothing that he cannot do, and he is faithful. He keeps all his promises, unlike me. So it's important that God cares for us, and it's important that God cares for us, because that means he has a desire to help us. So not only does he have the power to do it, he also has a desire to do it because he loves us. So casting your anxieties on God has many similarities with trusting Christ for salvation. The important difference is that we work with God in handling the difficulties of life, but Christ did all the work in salvation. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter is quoting Psalm 55:22, which says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." If you are a Christian, then at some point you came to the realization you had violated God's moral law, that you deserved eternal death as God's just penalty. You had a huge burden of sin and guilt. But by God's grace and through the Spirit's work in you, you came to believe that God loves you and sent his Son to die for you. You repented of your sin and you put your trust in Jesus, believing that he did all that was needed for your sins to be forgiven and for you to have eternal life. You cast your burden, still sin and guilt, on Christ. To do this, you had to humble yourself and admit that it was impossible for you to save yourself, or in fact, even contribute even the tiniest bit to your salvation. Many of you expressed your trust in Christ by praying to him and asking him to save you. If there is someone here who is still carrying their burden of sin and guilt, I would plead with you to cast your burden onto Christ. The danger is real. Judgment is coming. Cast your burden on Christ. And if you have any questions about that, please come talk to me or one of the elders or deacons. We would love to tell you more about Jesus. So to become a Christian, we cast our sins on Christ and receive eternal life. As a Christian, we cast our anxieties on God and receive peace and comfort. And the greatest comfort we have is knowing that one day we will be with God. Please pray with me. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you that you love us so much. We just thank you that, Father, that you sent the Son to die on a cross, punishing him for our sins. We just thank you so much for your great love for us. And even beyond that, we thank you for your great plans for us, that one day we will be with you, not just as your servants, although we are, but as heirs with Christ, as your adopted children. What unbelievable glory awaits us. And we thank you so much for that. We do ask your forgiveness, Father. So often we do not trust you. We trust ourselves greatly when we should not, but we have so little trust in you. Please forgive us, Father, for that. Help us to trust you, to remember that you have promised to take care of us and to trust you in that. And please increase our faith and help us that you might be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.